Hey, everybody, this is Jordan. Excited for today's episode to bring you one of my best friends and one of the best sports gamblers in the world, DraftKings Golf World Champion, Jared Ludeman. Enjoy the episode. We talk all things golf, gambling. It is a great one. Enjoy.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
And now, the Member Guest Podcast!
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
When I hear Daly, I get going.
Fucking going, boys.
Welcome to the Member Guest Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things golf, a place where members and guests connect. I'm Jordan Hagel, your host here in the studio in my garage. I am with Andy. Andy, say hello.
Hey, everybody.
Tony.
Hey, what's up, boys?
And our guest, well, and girls.
And gals.
We do have gals.
My apologies.
And our guest, Jared Ludeman. Thank you for coming all the way from Florida to Minnesota to join us.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Jared, we've known each other now 12 years. The reason we're having Jared on the podcast today, because one, he went to school for golf. We can get into that a little bit more. But more importantly, he's one of the sharpest golf betting minds that I know when it comes to daily fantasy sports. I always hit him up when I'm watching tour events and just trying to figure out who's going to win the thing, because I do a lot of side bets out at the farm. So yeah, excited to hear from Jared today. And Jared, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background? And I just imagine Andy and Tony are going to have a ton of questions. I do know some of the answers already, but I want you to be able to talk.
All right, so. Yeah. So I got into gambling when I was, I don't know, like 12, playing cards. my relatives would always play like euchre or spades or whatever at, you know, Christmas or whatever. So at first I was a observer, and then I became an avid, you know, I was learning and stuff, and then I became the shark, you know.
Yeah, just make sure you're talking to the mic.
Okay, my bad. playing cards at an early age, introduced to a bunch of different games that, you know, mostly adults played. 2003 was the year Moneymaker won the WSOP main event, and it was televised on ESPN. So watching that was pretty sweet. You know, he was some random guy, an accountant from I don't even know where, but he obviously goes on to win the thing, and, you know, his last name just happened to be Moneymaker, so that was kind of cool. started
his actual last name.
Hey, Moneymaker was kind of nails.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he won like 10 mil.
Is that his actual last name?
That's his actual last name.
That's
so
not
he
real.
Beats a pro. He beats Sammy Farha, heads up, who's one of the best in the world at the time, a high stakes pro. You know, and it just kind of started a boom. I think it gave a lot of people hope, you know, like, oh, that could be me someday or whatever, you know. So that kind of, 2003, I would have been 15.
Were you like a math whiz as a kid?
Yeah, pretty good.
Because you got to be like, I mean, the way that you do. Like when I play cards with you and we do stuff, it's like, it's just not fair. You have a different mental model with
it's just kind
running
of quick
stuff in your head.
Mental like, math and probabilities is actually not that hard once you understand.
So you think
cards.
It's not that hard, but it's hard.
And when there's, you know, your outs to come, what percent you are to win the hand and stuff. So Moneymaker wins. It starts the boom. I was 15. I was a sophomore. Going to be a sophomore in high school, and you know, we're having home games, $5 home games back in the day, you know, and started playing those frequently and winning them, and then also becoming more interested in getting better at the game. So you know, I would read books and try to study and get better, and yeah, just kind of went from there. And
always strictly poker?
Yeah, for the most part, at a young age. I mean, in Minnesota, you could only play until you were 18 at Canterbury, so you had to wait. And then the worst part about it was, at the time, I didn't realize it, but Minnesota had, and they still do, you can't play no limit cash games. It's all limit. And so, you know, you grow up watching no limit on TV and stuff, and then, you know, you can't really play no limit cash. It was kind of a bummer. So I had to learn limit games and a little bit of Omaha 8 or better and some different games and stuff. But yeah, that's kind of how I got started.
So you're a card shark, love gambling, but you end up going to college at New Mexico State for golf?
Yeah.
Or
so
golf management?
Yeah, pro golf management. I was okay in high school. I was like a 5-ish handicap. But, you know, around Wells, Minnesota, population 2,000, you know, the rinkadink courses around there aren't anything special. So that 5 handicap looked, you know, a lot worse when I went out to Las Cruces and was playing 7,000 yard courses in the desert. So
against just some studs, probably. Yeah, New Mexico State too.
Yeah, guys that were really, really good. So
then you dropped out, right, to go poker full-time?
To be honest, I never really
had
anything like, you know, set in mind for college. I kind of considered it like, eh. And I was just going to go to party and then play poker for a living for the rest of my life.
And were you going for PGM or were you going to be on the golf team?
PGM.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the program there is actually one of the best in the country. They got a really good program there. So, yeah, I mean, I quickly realized that it probably wasn't for me. Just they were way too good and, I was playing a bunch of poker online and, you know, skipping class and stuff. Sorry, Mom. But, I ended up coming back to Minnesota because I was like, I don't really need to be down here if I'm not going to be in the program. And then dropped out to play poker full time. I had always promised my mom I would go back and, you know, get a degree just in case, but,
still an outstanding.
No, promise. I got it. I went and got it. Sport management degree at Minnesota State.
Nice.
So, 2011 was the fallout, the poker Black Friday. They seized all online
gambling.
Oh, that's right. I think I heard about that. What happened there?
It was a big deal.
So the FBI investigated and found out that the major sites like Full Tilt, and mainly Full Tilt and Poker Stars and Absolute Poker or Ultimate Bet, they were committing fraud and doing a bunch of, you know, illegal activities. So they seized all funds, anyone who had money on there, you know, and at the time I probably had not too much, maybe like 15K on there. But, you know, I was
for a college kid, that's a lot. I mean, that's 2 years of college.
Yeah. And I think it depends what site it was on, but I ended up getting back a lot of that years later.
And at the same time, are you playing like live events? Are you going to Vegas and trying to play in the World Series of Poker?
No, not really. I had so much going on at college. I was trying to be in the pro golf management, you know, program. So playing a bunch of golf, and I realized I wasn't as good as these guys. So I'm trying to, you know, practice a bunch and going to class. And then I was also in the ROTC program down there because my uncle ran it. And so, you know, getting up at 5 a.m. and having to run 3 miles and work out and then trying to do it, it was a lot. So, it didn't last very long. I did finish the year out there and then came back and started as a sophomore in Minnesota, but that's kind of how that went down.
So you're playing cards online all night.
Right. Yeah. And then I have, you know, an 8 a.m. English class that I never made it to.
And how many tables are open on your desktop? Like 10, 20 tables?
No, never more than 10. Usually 6 to 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sitting there with my mouse clicking away.
At what point in this, so were you making enough money that you thought I can do this full time? I don't need to be here. I don't need to be in school or?
Yeah. Earlier than that, probably when I was 18 or 19, wow. They were sending out at the time they had a deposit limit or you get a check in the mail, I think 5K per week. And so, you know, I was getting those sent to me. That was pretty cool. Being, you know, 19 years old, getting 5K in the mail per every week.
It's nuts.
So
you're literally like a senior in high school depositing 5K every week.
Yeah. Well, it didn't start off as good as I thought. I got a little cocky.
Yeah.
I started off with a couple $100 and
not going to lie. If I'm in college I'm getting checks for 5K every week.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm going to be like, I mean, obviously, eventually those checks would probably stop coming because you're going to have a great time with that money, I'm sure, right? So,
well, yeah. And I was, I mean.
Bro, I would have been dead.
That's a story for another time.
Another time. 100%. Another time.
100%. You know, I would still party with friends and stuff, but.
You've always been frugal.
Yeah, kind of. I think I got that from my dad a little bit, but I mean, I loved it so much and yeah. I had so much success that I wanted to just keep doing it.
And this was obviously pre like sports betting boom.
Right.
From a legalized perspective. Yeah, so like, are you like on the side? Are you getting a little action on?
No. The only sports gambling I did was fantasy football at that time. And I wasn't even really playing much on DraftKings, or I don't even know if they had it back then.
No, I don't think
they did. It was really new. Yeah. But I remember, so to transition to how you got into daily fantasy sports, golf, all that stuff, it was Reese 2014?
Reese was... Yeah, that sounds right. 2014.
Because I remember it was my first year out of college. Jared and I are pretty close. And you were going, I don't know if it was your first summer or second summer, going to Vegas to do the playing WSOP.
Events. They have like 50, 60 events throughout
the summer. It's kind of like the playoffs of poker for those of us that aren't.
Just go live in Vegas for those
buy-ins range from 1K to then the main events, the final event, the 10K buy-in.
Jared hits me up. It's probably... I don't know when it was, but it was during the main event. And he's like, dude, my buddy's like going deep in the main event right now. Like he's on ESPN. If he makes it here, we're going to go there and be at the table and all this stuff. And we're tracking it. And I'll let you tell the story. But I remember being up watching ESPN. It's like 9 or 10 at night. And Jared's like, dude, he's about to go heads up. Like this is for the main event. I mean, this is like the Super Bowl of poker, like what Moneymaker did back in when I'm like, and you're there. He's like, yeah. Got a piece.
Yeah, it was a wild ride.
It was so his roommate.
Oh, did you guys buy into each other?
Well, typically what you do when you play, like if me and you were going to go play in the same event, you'd be like, oh, let's swap. Meaning you swap 1, 2, 3, 4, 5% or whatever.
Okay.
And then if you cash for 10K, I get 1% of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or vice versa.
I like that.
So he's my roommate.
Kind of like hedge your bet a little bit.
Sure, yeah. He goes on.
I start doing that in some of our Saturday games.
There you go.
Thoughts.
Not bad. 20 club. Yeah. Take a piece.
Yeah. We should talk about that.
Eventually we'll talk about
that.
Yeah. So he goes on to win for $8.1 million.
Not bad. $1 million. Mm-hmm. And you had a little piece of that action.
I had a little piece. And it was cool because, you know, I was one of his coaches on the rail or whatever. So ESPN would be, you know, they'd show the table and you'd see me right in the background, like every time. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So what we did was they always put it on a delay. It's usually on like a 30, 45 minute delay. And we would,
that's what people don't watch and kind of get like, watch how people are playing hands and that kind of stuff. Yeah, right.
Cause then you could get tips on the hands.
Right. So we had our iPads and we would watch the hands and then 40 minutes later, you know, Ryan would be like, what did he have that hand? And I would tell him, obviously, and that's powerful information you would never have if it wasn't, you know, televised. So that was pretty sweet. He went on to win it. And
that was pretty sweet. So wearing a Calvin Johnson Detroit Lions jersey. No less. Michigan, Dude, it's absolutely legendary.
Megatron, baby.
Hey, you pull Michigan up the boy. Picture, Ryan Reese.
$8.1 million. Mm-hmm. And you had a little... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at what point are you like, all right, I'm diving headfirst. I'm quitting any other job. Like I'm strictly a gambler now.
Well, I did that. I think it was 2010. Yeah. So it was 2010. That's when I dropped out of college, convinced my mom that that was going to be a good idea. You know, she went with it and that was when I was getting checks in the mail. So she had some, you know, like proof that, oh, this is working.
Yeah. He has money actually.
Well, I did it for a while. And then 2011, April, it happened to be April 15th, coincidentally. That's when they shut it all down. So then I was like, okay, well now I have to, you know, go do something else.
Sure.
They happened to have a live tournament. It was a 1K buy-in MSPT, I think it was Mid-States Poker Tour at the time, at Diamond Joe Casino in Iowa.
Okay.
It's like 45 minutes from my house in Wells. This is right after they do the FBI sees all the funds. I'm like, oh, I might as well go play this live tournament. There's 102 entries, and I won it for 33K, I think.
Oh, that's your bracelet that you have, right?
Yeah,
you
got a bracelet. Cool little MSPT bracelet. So that was kind of cool because...
And at the time, that's your biggest cash.
Yeah, and I had only been playing online. So the transition to live is a lot different, you know, with live tells and just the whole game in general. So to win right away, basically in one of my first big, you know, buy-in tournaments, that was pretty sweet. So I was pretty fortunate to have a good start for sure.
Cards happen. Reese happens. That was 2013. And then you get deep into DFS. For those who don't know, daily fantasy sports.
So like what, talk to us about that transition. Like what got you so heavy into that?
So I was big on football first, loved fantasy football, playing leagues with your friends. But golf was always kind of my number one passion in sport. Watching it with my dad, playing it at a younger age. And then finally DraftKings got the rights to where they could put out this product. You could play fantasy golf, because that was not a thing before 2013. Maybe. I don't even know.
I remember when it, like, football was out, and then they had baseball.
Yeah.
And
golf was kind of one of the last, you know, it went basketball, baseball, or whatever. Right. Golf came in. And back then it was really, no one really did much research, or, you know, now you have all these optimizers and all these stats and like everything you can look at. Back then that you didn't have that stuff.
I need optimizers.
Yeah.
I don't have any optimizers.
So 2015, they ran a live satellite. You could play on DraftKings to get into their qualifier for a live world championship seat. They flew 25 people out to Boston, TPC Boston. And the winner of that 25-man tournament got $200,000. So I qualified on DraftKings off like a $200 satellite, I think.
What is a satellite?
It's an entry into this private tournament.
And on, like, on the DFS side, so I got to ask, Jared, how does DFS work for dummies?
That's a good question. So basically, you have a salary cap, $50,000. DraftKings releases the salaries based on the golfer's odds to win the tournament.
And it's just straight up like, hey, this guy's 5,000 to 1, so he's X amount of money, and somebody else's.
Yeah. So how it usually works is the favorite goes off around 10 to 1 usually. Rory, he'll be priced around 11,000. And then the cheapest guys are, I think their bottom salary is $6,000. And you have to make a team of 6 golfers staying within the salary cap. And then the scoring system is, if they get a birdie, you get, I think it's 3.5 points. Pars are half a point. Bogeys are minus half point. And then doubles or worse are -1.
What about when you go streaking?
Streaks are big, because if you get 3 birdies in a row, then you get 3 bonus points.
Got to go streaking.
Yeah, we Eagles, need to be streaking.
Eagles are 8. Have you guys gone streaking yet this year?
Myself?
I streaked a couple times.
We've hit a streak or two.
I streaked 10, 11, and 12 during the member this year.
Oh, I streaked 14, 15, and 16 in a banker game last weekend.
That's nice. Wow. I've been streaking too, but it wasn't on the golf course.
We may have to dig into that a little bit.
So 6 guys, you pick your team. Do you remember who you had when you...
I do. So 2015 TPC Boston, I had Rory.
So first, let's talk about this satellite. What does that even mean?
So they were running... It's an entry into this private tournament. Like, you can't just buy into it.
Okay. Right. You have to be invited, basically.
You have to win one of their satellites.
You got to qualify. Okay. It's like a qualifier. You got to win a qualifier to get into the tournament. Yeah,
it's quali.
Quali.
And so I win the quali. It's like a $200 qualifier. I think there were maybe 100, 200 entries or something.
And at this time, are you like heavy into DFS or are you just like, hey, this is, I'm dabbling. I love doing this because I like golf and
I've been
and
playing for a couple years at that point. And
you're winning like daily successful. Fantasy and just doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how much, and off of a $200 win.
So they valued the whole package because it's, you know, your flight, everything. Hotel accommodations, I think it was around 30 or 40K.
Wow.
And so they only had 25 qualifiers and they ran them all year, you know, one each week. Yeah. This happened to be the very last one.
Oh, wow.
You were the last one.
I was the last one.
Wow.
So you snuck in.
So I sneak in.
Sneak in.
And then
Monday quali.
Yeah. And then I have to
Monday qualies.
A Monday quali. And then, wow. Yeah. And then I win the thing. So that
you had Rory.
That never
happened.
Wait.
Yeah,
we got
to we can't just skip over that. So you won the satellite.
Yep.
And then what did you just
go
say?
To Boston?
Then what did you just say happened?
Then I win the whole thing. There were only 25 entries. So it's not like I beat, you know, a couple
thousand.
Yeah,
but you had to quali. You had to win one of the qualies. Hundreds of people in the qualies.
We didn't skip over that. He just won the world championship, did
he?
I mean,
yeah, he did.
That year. Lord.
So you basically Monday quali in and win the Masters.
Basically.
That is unreal, dude.
Yeah, it was wild.
All right, so do you remember your
basically.
lineups?
Yeah, so I had Rory, Henrik Stenson.
Gross.
He was good back in 2015. Yeah,
he was hitting banger three woods off the track everywhere.
He got second. He almost won the tournament. Yeah. Tony Finau.
Was he like 18?
Love Tony. Guy. Yeah. He was one of his first years on tour.
Big Tones has a lot of top tens.
Jason Duffner.
Mm. Ooh, okay. Big Daddy Duff.
Is he alive?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's still hacking it
around.
I
saw him. He was playing. I saw him in a tournament.
He's been playing.
He didn't have any distance anymore.
But. Oh, no. Well, he never really did. But and then the last two spots were pretty clutch. They were min-priced or close to it. Hudson Swafford.
Mm. Live guy.
And Sean Stefani.
I don't even know who that is.
Who the hell is Sean Stefani?
Yeah.
So by this time, you had developed a strategy.
Right. So my strategy going into the world championship was... I wanted to make a stars and scrubs lineup, which means you pay up for two expensive guys, which mine were Rory and Stenson. And then you get some cheap ones in there because that way, if you get them all through the cut and, you know, Rory and Stenson end up playing really well,
like top 10 or something,
then you're going to have a good shot at winning it. Whereas I thought most people in the world championship were going to play a balanced team, six guys that were, you know, around eight K priced.
Right.
Just to get 6-6 through. It just so happened it was a crazy week where there were 25 people in the world championship. Not a single one got 6-6 through.
Even you didn't either.
Tony was my sole.
Wow.
Tony,
so if you hear this.
Through is through the cut.
Through the cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so if you
but Tony missed the cut.
He misses the cut.
Okay.
He was pretty popular too, so.
So a lot of guys owned him.
It didn't hurt me too bad that he missed.
Yeah.
Brooks was popular. He missed. Jason Bone.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Bone Dog.
Yep. Yeah, he missed. Just a ton of guys that were chalk. The Bone Dog. Huh?
Andy goes
no Bone way that's Dog. Real
like, he's, like, he's really dialed into
Bone
Jason
Dog.
Bone. Oh yeah, me and Bone Dog, we go way back.
Yeah, that sounds like it came from somebody who has no idea. Oh yeah, the Bone Dog.
I love that.
Anyways, all right. So we have Tony miss.
Funny story about Tony. So I got to bring a guest with me. I bring one of my really good buddies, Phil Huey. Comes with me. We're following Tony, right? Tony hits an errant drive, like, and it goes into this bush.
I mean, you guys are looking for that.
We can't find it. He's like on the clock about to get a penalty. And I'm like, shit. I'm like, we got to find this ball because, you know, this is a big, he's either got to go re-tee or he gets to drop it right here, you know, if it's unplayable.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
My buddy Phil finds it in the bush. And even Tony was like, oh, thanks, man. It was sweet. It was awesome.
Name and drop is, like raindrops. Bill Huey is a legend too.
He's a legend.
Bill especially,
a
great name. Do you know who that is?
No, but it's a great name.
It is a great name.
Bill Huey. It's awesome.
Bill Huey. Scratch golfer who plays twice a year.
Yeah, legend.
And is one of the sharpest bettors out there.
He won the 50K championship, poker championship.
What?
Yeah. It's a 50.
You just hang out with like poker?
Well, he's married to Lonnie Harwood. Do you know who Lonnie Harwood is? You ever heard that name?
No.
In poker? She's like the best female poker player.
Poker
probably.
Legends. Yeah, so I'm friends with all the legends, and I'm just kind of, you know, a little lower on the totem pole.
And then there's me. I just follow you guys around and just play whatever you guys
sounds
do.
Like you're on the great. Top of the totem pole for maybe the DFS for, daily.
Yeah, maybe for fantasy golf. That's about it. But, yeah, so we
that's
find,
why we're here.
We so. Find Tony's ball. That was sweet.
So you're pulling for Tony to make a cut at this point.
Yeah, and he's just spraying it all over the course. It was actually brutal.
And you're hawking his ball.
Now,
yeah,
I hope Beano hears this and remembers this.
Yeah, this is unbelievable.
We do love you, Tony. So
we do.
So I get 5 of 6 through, and I think I'm, after Friday, I'm maybe in third or fourth points-wise. You get points, obviously, if your guys are making a bunch of birdies and whatnot. Stenson's leading the thing. That's why I'm in first, because you get placement points as well. So if you get your golfer's in first place, you 30-point bonus
each day.
No,
like at the finish, time finish, at when they finish, you get 30 bonus points for the winner.
If everybody's teeing off on Thursday, the first guy goes and makes a birdie, and you have him, you get 30 points
because he's in first.
Box. Got it.
Now, obviously, as everyone else tees off, goes down because
second's 20, third's 18, and so on. It goes down to like 40th place is 1 point.
Okay.
So every time the guy hits first.
No, it's just the leaderboard.
Leaderboard.
So the leaderboard at the end of the day, if your guy's in first, you get 30 points.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
At the end of each day.
Right, but it's actually live. It fluctuates.
Yeah. You know. Like so you would lose the 30 if he's not in first.
Correct.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So you don't bank 30.
That's correct.
Correct.
Got it.
All live.
Like can't, we can't get nothing by you.
I actually was wondering.
Yeah. No, it's like same thing with fantasy football.
Yeah, sure. You get points if the defense scores a touchdown, but then
at the start of the game, your D starts with like 10 points because they're pitching a shot.
Exactly. Okay. So that was a part of my strategy as well, because in such a small, it's only a 25-man tournament. If I can have two studs and one of them wins, there's a good chance that I'm probably going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have a stars and scrub lineup, and we were looking. This is how in depth we went. We were up until I think the tee times, you know, they teed off at like 7:30. Maybe was the first tee time. We barely slept. We were up researching and, you know, looking at stats. And I'll tell you what we found is Hudson Swafford and Sean Stefani had good results on Pete Dye design courses.
We're deep, baby.
Yeah, we were deep. And TPC Boston is designed by Pete Dye.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's go.
Railroad ties
this
everywhere.
Is sweet. Literally no one else played those two guys. I mean, why would you? It's a world championship. You're playing two guys that are coming off 5 consecutive missed cuts.
They were both coming off 5 consecutive
minutes. Guy, I don't remember that exactly, but basically.
I mean, back in 2015, like you're going deep. Like what are the other things you look at? Because I mean, as I've gotten better at golf, I start to think about those things. Like when I go to Arizona, like I'm so bad on, it's Bermuda grass, right? In desert golf, usually. Is it Bermuda?
It depends on the course.
Yeah, in Arizona, yeah.
Like it just grabs your, you just start to think about those things.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what do you think about when you're
grain.
Yeah,
I mean, like grass the distance type of the course, and like, is it a putter's course? Is it a ball striker's course or
how
driver's
long's the rough?
Course?
If you know it's long rough, like U.S. Opens, guys that spray it off the tee, you don't want them. They can't get it up to the green.
Yeah. Are you looking at weather? Are you looking at their finishes for the last?
Literally everything. So the difference is back then, you had to, you know, I had 20 tabs open on my laptop trying to look at all this stuff. Now, you know, there are subscription sites that have it all in one spot for you. Yeah. It's so easy. You can look at it in an hour or two where, you know, back in 2015, I would look at it for 3 days straight.
Yeah. You're digging through designers.
Pete Dye, baby.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
So Pete Dye.
So Hudson Swafford's a Dye killer.
Yeah. So get this. It gets better. On Sunday, I have the lead, right? And it's a fun sweat because you can pull up the app on your phone and it's showing me that I'm in first place for 200K. And like,
200K.
It'll say player holes remaining by, you know, on your team. And guys were coming up getting pretty close to me, maybe like 10-ish points behind, which is not a lot at all. Right. Yeah. Or if Stenson blows the lead.
Oh, you lose your placement.
He loses
points.
His 10-30 and goes down to 20.
Yeah.
And Ricky's on his heels. Ricky ends up tying him, right? We're following, we're going back to like DraftKings had a pretty sweet setup. Shout out to them. It was fucking nails. Okay. And Swafford's on this par four. I can't remember what hole it was. Maybe hole 13 or 14. He's got a wedge in. You know, we were like watching the shot trackers to see what they had in or whatever. 135 maybe.
Did he dunk it?
One hopser in the cup.
Oh, let's go. How much is an
I'm
eagle
like
worth?
Streaking
six?
Across Eight, the ten? Course. Not quite, but you can imagine, like,
oh my
that's
God.
Massive. So an eagle is eight points.
Yeah. I mean, you are like on was, top of the world at
right,
that point.
And so we're celebrating, like, because I was already had a small lead, but now I have a big lead.
Yeah.
Because now I'm up 20 or more, and Hudson.
And
you
probably just jumped up like 10 places right. in the leaderboard. And
so that was exciting to see that live. That was the whole thing. That was the appeal to me was DraftKings said that this is a qualifier to a live world championship. Now, since then, there's been some discrepancies with the PGA Tour. They haven't been able to do a live event since then.
On the site, like on the grounds of
now
the golf
their
course.
World championship is. Online. I'm technically the only live world championship winner ever because they've never had one since.
That's pretty dope.
Well, ever. You're definitely the only one that hawked one of your players' balls. In the
yeah, that's
that was clutch.
That's pretty sick.
Just out there looking for
so that Finau could then go ahead and miss the cut.
Right. Anyway. Just say, I mean, it's I think he bogeyed. He for sure doubles if,
yeah.
you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So
I mean, he's likely going back to the box to hit his third. So
exactly.
So you're chasing these guys all around the course, and when you're looking at holes left to play, is trickling down. Where are you at on the course? Are you how do you finally come to the conclusion like I'm going to win this thing?
So after the Swafford hole out was when I pretty much knew it was over because I had. Substantial lead and Rory was making a bunch of birdies that day and making a charge. I remember, maybe with like five holes left, Stenson actually ends up 16s, a par three over water. He dunks it
in the water.
Yeah. And loses the lead. Ricky goes on to win, but I got super lucky that only one team out of 25 played Ricky Fowler that week. Because if Ricky's like...
And what year was this?
2015, which is
so
surprising.
This is when Ricky was pretty good.
Yeah.
So hot right now.
Orange and
I think he was probably on a bad form streak or something because
like
no one played him. So
Ricky. Pre-swing changes.
Good Ricky.
This is when he was with Butch.
No, I think he did.
He was with Butch, then he left, and now he's back with Butch.
Now he's back, okay.
All right.
It's Butch Ricky. He's wearing orange, prancing around. He's got
so they we're in the grandstands next to 18 green, and they present me with this badass glass cup. It's like the fucking Stanley Trophy. And that was it.
We'll put a picture of Jared holding his check. Yeah. But, dude, I mean, it's incredible.
I think I put one on.
It's incredible.
Back when we did the announcement that he would be on.
Yeah. I mean, go back. I can't even imagine what kind of high you were on.
Yeah, it was wild.
You're seeing Hudson Swafford dunk one from 133 yards, and you're just saying, I just pretty much want a quarter.
That's a bink. Yeah. So then, and now you do it full time. So like what, I mean, I think a lot of people hear professional, you know, gambler DFS and think, oh, I want to do that. But like, what's
a day in your life?
Yeah. What's the day in the life? Like, cause I know today I was on calls all day and you're on your laptop, just grinding, looking at golf stuff for this weekend. You know,
So DraftKings usually comes out with the salaries on Monday, usually around noon. But you can check the field list, you know, prior to that. So I already kind of have an idea of who's playing, and it's pretty easy to, you know, at this point to look at that list and be like, okay, I know who's going to be, you know, expensive based on their odds, who's going to be the favorite or whatnot. So I start with that and, just start grinding some stats, like strokes gained approach.
Is that the one of the most important?
I would say that's probably the most important, you know, because if you're not hitting it good, how are you going to compete unless you have a hot putter? Which
break down strokes gained approach. I don't think everybody knows what that is.
It's kind of confusing, but basically it's if everyone were to hit that same shot approach into the green, your strokes gained is based on how close you hit it from that spot compared to someone else. Yeah.
So like, but like strokes gained off the tee or strokes gained putting, you're saying strokes gained approach in your mind is the most important.
Yeah. I think by now we have enough data to support that claim. Like, you know, if people aren't hitting it good, they don't score
hit it close.
Yeah. They can't.
Well,
they
just don't. They don't win. You know, they can't win the tournament unless you gain, you know, 8 strokes putting and get really hot. And that's another thing is putting is just unpredictable.
Yeah.
I mean, there are good, obviously the better putters on tour, but even they can go cold. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we see the Jordan Spieth run that was unbearable.
It's the best putter in the world for 3 years, and then.
So
what happened?
Yeah. I mean, it's just
cash and everything from like 15 to 30 feet.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's putting at the Masters back in what year is that? Like 2018, maybe 19, somewhere in there.
I think there's a lot to be said that putting is kind of luck.
You think
when you're hot,
that's how I look at it. I don't really take, you know,
I mean, the
much
one thing
strokes,
you can look
putting.
At to tell if a guy's a really good putter.
Lag,
speed control.
Yeah. I was just going to say,
lag, putting, and speed control.
It's more about speed control than direction. Almost.
What did you tell me the other day when we were grinding on the?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Scott Fawcett and his perspective is all about, you know, putting wise, you're not going to hit it more than a couple degrees offline on your intended target. But if you blow it 10 feet by,
if you're
pin high, you're going to be. You're going to be pretty close.
The hole's a lot bigger, too, when the ball's dying in.
That's true.
So anyway, so
it is. Basically, what you're
saying, is strokes gained approach is a really, really good indicator as to how they're playing overall. Because if strokes gained approach is good, they're probably driving it pretty good. And if they're hitting it close, they're going to have a better
making
odds
putts.
Of making
exactly.
Putts.
So, you know, back in 2015... in order to check all those stats, I had to individually click on the guy's name. I had to go then to his scorecard or whatever, click on the tournament. It was a lot of work to, you know, 150 golfers sometimes in the field. And you're trying to check the strokes gained approach on each one. I didn't always do that. Or you kind of, if you stick with it week to week, you kind of know who's hitting it good and who's not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, you can just subscribe to a paywall, and they have it all right in front of you. Every single golfer.
Stack ranked, basically.
What their strokes gained were in every tournament they've played in their entire career.
So how do you get your edge then? Like, I mean, I'll give you credit. Like, these guys are so good. You and shout out to DJ, too. David Jane, not Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
But how do you get your edge? Like, I mean, the couple times that we've played together, done stuff, it's we're always right there. There's usually not many flops. I think we had maybe one flop this year, but
yeah, it's kind of like,
how do you get the edge if everybody's got access to the
honestly,
same stuff?
The edge has gotten smaller as more info has become available, and it's just easier for people to find those stats and use optimizers, and, you know, that have projections on golfers. And
there's that word again.
Optimize, baby.
We need optimizers.
Yeah. Optimize it. But no, it's honestly, it's just loving the game and watching it for the last 20 some years and knowing, you know, okay, these are Florida boys who love to putt on Bermuda greens. Yeah. And now you can even find splits where, you know, okay, they gain 1.5 strokes putting on Bermuda, but when they go over in Cali and play on those Poa greens, they lose strokes.
Yeah.
It could be simple stuff like that, or it could be, you know, he's native from that area, or he went to college around there, and that's his home course, and he's played it hundreds of times. And yeah. a lot of that info is available on the internet.
Yeah.
You just have to do a little digging and
like Nick Hardy was a great example. Waste management. That's like, he's from Arizona. He plays that course all the time. And I remember they're like, yeah, we're going with Nick Hardy. He just, remember he had that like fist bump where
Nick was way back. Yeah. So what was it? 2019 when we watched Nick for the first time.
Sounds right. 3 years ago. Yeah. I think 3 years ago.
So that's the other thing too, is getting on to these guys earlier in their careers before they blow up.
You were early on Zal too.
There's a lot of data.
Zalatoris,
you were early on Zalatoris and Scheffler.
You just kind of watch, like, if you pay attention to the, now it's the KFT. It used to be web.com.
Yep.
Is Zalatoris the best ball striker on tour?
I was just going to say, you guys, you just
probably named Morikawa.
You just named two of the best ball strikers on tour, Sungjae and.
Exactly.
He was so early on Zal though.
So these dudes coming up off the KFT, you know, it's kind of hard. It's, you know, you're transitioning to the big boys. Now you're on the PGA Tour. Are they going to play good? And a lot of them don't. Obviously, it's a lot tougher, the competition.
Sure.
So strokes gained, but also distance were two key stats to look at. Because, you know, the courses are harder, probably, you know, longer. And if you're bombing it out there, you got a shot to compete with the big boys.
Right, so I want to go back to the question on that. You talked a little bit earlier about U.S. Open setups.
Yep.
Heavy rough. You don't want to have a guy that sprays it. I think there's been a lot of talk the last couple of years about distance in golf. We obviously saw what Bryson did in the U.S. Open, the bomb and gouge. As a gambler, are you putting a premium on distance in a U.S. Open like setup, or more the guy who's going to hit it in the fairway?
Yeah, so it just kind of depends. I mean, you do so much research. Like, for example, I think on one of the recent U.S. Opens, the rough was insane, and we knew that because guys are like, I think Neiman or someone even posted on his own Instagram.
Kevin Na.
Nah, did it. Yeah. A lot of, like, you know, throw a ball down and see, okay, so now we know. The thing is a lot of the guys that hit it really far aren't really that accurate.
Yeah,
right.
So total driving in that instance is a big stat. So we're looking, obviously, Rory, I think Rahm is probably number one in total driving. Mm-hmm. But even other guys like up-and-comers like Cam Young bombs it, but he's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Bombs it, dude.
Corey Connors.
Sweet pause, too.
Yeah, love Cam Young. Yeah. He's gonna win soon.
What's your outlook on Cam Young?
Well, he PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. He's a monster. Yeah. He's gonna win soon. I mean, he'll probably be a major winner as well. The harder the course setup, like give him a tough course where, you know, like 2 under wins. I want Cam Young.
Yeah.
Wow. So we have Cam Young that you just mentioned. Who are some more like the more underrated guys on tour that.
Many rookies this year that came off the KFT that are good. Yeah. Taylor Montgomery. I'm trying to think of a bunch. Let's see. There's a Kim that's, obviously you guys know Tommy Kim.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's popular now. Everybody loves him now.
Superstar.
To stripe, I think, what did he, you know, he's not that long. So he hit that, probably a 2 iron, 230 to 10-ish feet, and then made the putt for the win. I don't know if you guys saw it, like on the last hole.
The guy was so nails.
That's nails.
Yeah.
You know, so he's obviously, I think, first golfer to win twice under the age of 21 since Tiger.
Yeah.
So a lot of hype on Tommy Kim. The problem is, he's now become really popular. So, you know, when you're playing him, you're getting him, you're not getting him low owned anymore.
Yeah.
He's coming in 20-30%.
So yeah, like what is a guy like Tommy Kim's, you can see a minimum.
No, he's already,
guy?
Since
no.
he's already won.
Yeah. So I'm saying up. Originally, like right. if you looked at him 3 months ago, He's a minimum bet kind of guy. Now all of a sudden he's up around 10, 11,000. Right.
So the problem was he was 7-ish K or cheap and then he wins.
Yeah.
And so the outright market adjusts that going forward because he's already won. So you got the pressure of your first win off tour, on tour. So then, you know, going forward, he was coming in at like, I think last week he was, you know, 9,500. So he's already priced in. You're not getting him cheap no more. Yeah. So the window closed fast, but I was getting Cam Young in the 6Ks for a long time.
Really? So
nails,
maybe take it to a little more controversial topic, but like what is the prognosis or the outlook for LIV versus PGA Tour? Is that going to, are they going to have daily fantasy for LIV?
They already do. Yeah. Personally, I think the format is complete dog shit.
Like LIV's format?
Yeah. It's
the 3-day and
3-day. I mean, it's like a, team stuff. What is this? The Champions Tour, like no cut 54 holes. I don't know. I just doesn't appeal to me at all.
And from a betting perspective, I mean, everybody's playing at the same time. So there's not really, you're not really looking at,
well, you're right. That's
at the, you know,
less edges.
It is shotgun
100%.
And there's less, you know, it's not, it's,
there's no wave advantages because you're not getting the early AM PM draws. Yeah. And you're also not getting the cut sweat because anyone can play any scrub golfer and he gets three rounds. He gets three, he's guaranteed three rounds. Whereas when you play on the PGA Tour, you need guys that can make cuts, but also have, you know, a high ceiling to score well and can potentially win the tournament.
Yeah. Are you still a top heavy guy strategy wise?
Honestly, it just, it kind of depends on the week.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like if you can find those cheap up and coming young guys, cause I mean, golf's at its peak competition level right now, 100%.
Yeah, these guys are all
best it's ever
incredible.
Been. The
so
technology
good.
Is so good. They're bombing. They're all bombing it 330. Mm-hmm. Not quite, but it's just you find those guys that are cheap and can score because DraftKings is all about scoring, right?
Yeah.
So even if you get a guy that makes a bunch of birdies but is also making bogeys and finishes, you know, 20th, as long as he was top 10 in the field in birdies, you're fine.
Yeah, you're dying. You're dialed.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite player on tour then? Like, who do you like? Like, you see him online and like...
Love Burger Time.
Boog. Daniel Berger.
Boog's my man. But not currently big on Cam Young. I've always been a big Rory supporter as well. And especially since he's like one of the number one PGA Tour, you know, ambassadors. He's been pretty vocal about that. So
Boog and Cam Young.
Morikawa. I mean, I like them all. I like a lot, man.
Super
okay,
man.
Who don't you like?
Spieth. Can't stand Spieth. Oh, when Spieth was getting the comparisons of like the next Tiger. And
well, I mean, they were justified at the time. Oh. And he had three majors before he was like 25. It's or true. Something.
I was going to say my favorite golf moment all time was when Spieth dumped it into the pond twice.
It wasn't when you won the DraftKings.
I just
World Tour.
Do you like that more than when Tiger won in 2018?
19, right?
19. Was it 19? 19. I should know. It's right by.
That was
2019.
No, that was number one.
Did you cry?
Yeah, of course.
I cried. Did you?
Man,
you
guys tears. Cried?
It's pretty sick.
That means Tony didn't cry. What a loser. You didn't cry?
You didn't cry?
What a loser.
Yeah, what an
do
idiot.
I look like
dude,
a guy that
cry.
Would cry because
it was just,
man
you know,
wanted to go.
I cried. That
I
was unreal.
Cry.
Of course just I cried.
A little tear.
My mom cried.
Good
she
for
called
you.
Me and asked me I if I was
I think my
crying.
Mom cried
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
And I'm not a crier. No.
I'm
it's
I
okay
cry.
To cry.
I thought you guys knew me better than this. I'm not going to cry when another man wins a golf tournament.
Well,
that's
fair. If I win the club championship at the farm, you won't cry?
No.
0% chance I'm going to cry.
No, I'm not going to cry.
Unreal, no, boys. All right. No. Okay, Jared. So, no, go ahead, Andy. Go.
I want to talk about your golf game.
Like how I hit the sticks?
Yeah, your game. How much do you play? How
what was
you
your
play?
Low index ever?
Like four-ish to five.
How often do you get out?
Now?
Yeah, you live in Florida.
New dad.
Right?
Hashtag new dad.
Yeah, I've played golf 2 times in the last year.
Really? Both with me?
You make a living.
Probably.
Playing daily fantasy golf, and you've played twice in the last year?
Well, I'm a new dad.
Oh.
So that, you know, it takes up a lot of my time.
Fair point.
But also, I kind of had to choose, right? Back then, it was kind of like, am I taking the poker route or the golf route? And golf seemed a little too hard, and I was winning at poker, so I'm like, let's go poker.
Seems like you'd made the right choice.
Not as much. I'll still, you know, travel and play some tournaments. I honestly just don't enjoy it as much as I used to.
Yeah.
I will say Jared has a pretty saucy short game and can putt.
Yeah.
So your main income stream is DFS.
That's it, really. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And also betting golf. Yep.
Do you have followership or anything? Like, do you have your own thing?
I used to do some like content podcasts for fantasy golf. I think I got a decent amount of followers from that, but haven't done that in years. I think, you know, I kind of chose to keep a lot of that like good info to myself instead. So
gotta be a shark.
Yeah.
Biggest L's and biggest W's. Can we get into
Are
that?
Are you comfortable sharing?
You mean like
well, biggest
gambling?
W would be
biggest
the
W is a world championship. World championship, I'm assuming, right? The biggest cash.
Yeah, for DFS.
Or anything.
In general.
Yeah, DFS for sure was that. I've had a couple live big sweats at like the Millie Maker. Mm-hmm. Millie Maker is it's like a $20, 100-some-thousand entry tournament. They run them for the majors. The Masters is probably the most popular. But, you know, you can go from first in that thing and then one of your guys bogeys and drops and then you go to like outside the top 100, 200.
Wow.
You
know, damn.
Drop out fast. So, 200, that biggest for that. And then, I have some decent live scores myself in poker around 50-ish K. And then, the Ryan Reese piece was the biggest for me.
Calvin Johnson.
Do you gamble when you play golf?
A little bit, but it's friendly.
Yeah, sure. You're playing like,
playing skins, $20 sure. Or, you know, yeah, yeah, nothing big.
Love it.
All right,
we should introduce him to Banker at some point.
Yeah, let's go.
I told him about it today, and he was like, man, that sounds sick.
Yeah.
I told him the rules, and then I go, wait,
when your ball is in the air,
yeah,
you can double it.
So we got to tell the listeners about Banker. They might not know about it.
We'll probably have a segment of another
where we get
show
where we
dig in, I'm assuming.
Okay.
Rapid fire segment sponsored by Swanee's Golf.
Swanee's.
Yeah. Shout out to Swanee's.
Shout
great
out to
hoodies.
Swanee's.
Hey, we all look handsome.
And right? Golf should be fun. That's their whole bit.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I helped them put together their first sandal prototype back when they were in like mom's basement. Come a long way. Really proud of those guys. All right, Jared, you ready?
I'm ready.
How many hole in ones do you have?
Zero.
What's your low handicap index?
4.5.
Favorite golf brand?
TaylorMade.
If you were on tour, what would your golf sponsor be?
Swanee's.
Great plug.
Great answer.
Plug,
great answer.
Best golf course you've ever played?
TPC Boston.
Favorite game to play on the golf course?
Wolf.
Most biased golfer you play in DraftKings?
Rory.
If you had to play a 500-yard par 5 with one club and make par for $10,000, what club do you use?
7-iron.
Would you rather 2-putt every time you're on the green or drive the ball 300-plus and always be in the fairway?
Driver.
Would you rather play in 110-degree heat with humidity or 40-degree cold with wind?
100% 40-degree. Bring on the cold.
Titleist or TaylorMade golf balls?
Titleist.
Dream scramble partner?
Sorry?
Dream scramble partner?
Tiger.
It's a pretty simple one.
Yeah. Last one.
Duh.
Will Charlie Woods ever win on the PGA Tour?
Yes, of course.
I think so too.
Probably majors too.
You guys think?
He has, I'm not kidding. He has one of the best golf swings I've ever seen.
Well, and he's already got the Tiger mannerisms. He's got the Tiger mannerisms already.
I mean, I love when you can tell when you're 14, right?
He's getting older.
I love when he hits like a good shot and he just pimps it.
Yeah.
Club twirl. It's pretty sick.
Just like Tiger.
And I hope we get to watch him.
That's weird.
Why?
I'm just kidding.
Dude, you know Tiger's going to be on his bag as long as he can walk.
Man, I hope we get to watch
Tiger. It didn't have to be like that.
Kid's 12.
Oh, that's good.
No, you just said he was 14. Whatever. He's got the best golf swing ever. I want to watch that.
He does have the best golf swing I've ever seen. I'm not kidding.
Hopefully they win the PNC.
Yeah. I'll be tuning into that.
Love it.
Any last questions
for
Jared?
Thanks for coming on, man.
It was a blast, guys. Thanks
awesome
for having
conversation.
Me.
Where, love having me, man.
Where can the listeners find you?
JLudeUp.
Yeah, I just dabble on Twitter. I'm not really on much social media, to be honest. Okay. Twitter.
Too much
at JLudeUp. Yeah.
They can find him in the DraftKings leaderboard.
Yeah.
DraftKings leaderboard and on Twitter at JLudeUp.
Yeah, guys. Thanks. That was fun.
Appreciate
we'll see
it,
Waste Management.
All the listeners should come out too. It's a blast. Best venue, best golf tournament I've ever been to, going on 6 years straight now. That's for electric. Me.
All right, boys. This will be my fourth or fifth, so can't wait.
See you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Not too shabby.